الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه، ومن استن بسنته، ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us a beautiful opportunity to gather in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak day of Eid and this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. So this is a double Eid for a believer. One is the day of Jumu'ah, and we are still in the days of Eid. So this is a double Eid for us. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating this Mubarak day. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of coming early on the day of Jumu'ah to the masjid. And may Allah Ta'ala make it such that we see many, many more days of Jumu'ah. Allah Ta'ala also make it such that the last day of our earthly life is this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. One of the fundamental and the most principal importance or most principal things in our deen relates to the heart. Allah Ta'ala has made it such that we got both an external and we got an internal. The external is something that we can see. The external is something we can appreciate. The external is something that we can work on and we understand because we see it, we identify with it on a daily basis. But the internal is something that very often we don't understand it, or we take it for something to be granted, or what happens is we discount it. In other words, it's not something that is so important. We don't see it, we don't understand it. For example, a person, he'll make effort on his muscles. He'll make effort on his body. His body must look nice, face must look nice, he must look fit. But very seldom will a person be concerned that what is the condition of my heart? What is the condition of my kidneys? What is the condition of my lungs? So long as I'm just looking nice, he doesn't concentrate too much on the internal until something happens. Some problem comes about and the person realizes internally he's got a problem. So similarly, as far as our deen is concerned, it is not only related to the external. There's a great part of our deen that relates to our internal. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would quote this hadith often. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would also quote this hadith fairly often. And what is this hadith? Innamal a'malu bin niyat. That all actions are judged by its intentions. In other words, whatever actions they are, however small it is, however big it is, however it meets the eye, however glamorous it may appear, but it's dependent on the intention. If the intention is right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause the smallest of actions to become greater than a mountain. But if it is an action that is the size of a mountain, but it's to impress others, to impress and to display and to demonstrate one's greatness to others, in the sight of Allah ta'ala, is not even worth the seed of a date. It's not even worth that in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innamal a'malu bin niyat, that actions are only judged by its intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَىٰ. And every person will get what he intends. Sometimes when ulama quote this hadith, they say, مَا نَوَىٰ. That whatever his intention is, he will get it. That irrespective of what his intention, therefore we are told that when we are making intentions, make big intentions. Don't feel shy as far as your intentions are concerned. Many people in this time, in this Qurbani season, they ask the question, that can we intend Qurbani for more than one person? In other words, sawab. Some person passed away, an uncle, an aunt. When we're doing Qurbani, can we make intention for the sawab to go to more than one person? Ma nawa, whatever we intend. If we intend 100 people, Allah Ta'ala will give the sawab to 100 people. If we intend 1,000 people, the sawab will go for 1,000 people. If we include the whole ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sawab will not diminish. Ulama explain that the mercy and the magnitude of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like a Cadbury chocolate. One slab you got so many pieces. If you give one person one piece, then you got so many pieces less. If you give another person, then you got so many more pieces less. As far as the rahmat and the mercy of Allah ta'ala is, you can include everyone in your niyat. So it doesn't matter. Therefore, an intelligent person is, if he's doing nafil qurbani, not his wajib qurbani, nafil qurbani, then he'll include everyone. A person is giving nafil charity, he'll include the whole ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his nafil charity. He won't limit it, because it is not restricted. So anyway, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئِمْ مَا نَوَى. Whatever a person intends. A person is coming to the masjid. He's just coming for salah, he's coming for the farz salah, that is one niyat. He makes niyat in his heart, wallah, if there's any talk of deen in the masjid, like how now there's a talk of deen, I will sit for the talk of deen. He's getting rewarded for coming to the masjid for salah, and he's getting rewarded for sitting in a talk of deen. So he just increased his niyat. Then he makes a niyat that, oh Allah Ta'ala, if on the way, if there happens to be a sick person, I'll visit that sick person. Or if there's somebody is not feeling too well in the masjid also, I'll sympathize with him. I'll intend to meet him. He's getting the reward for visiting the sick also in that one journey of coming to the masjid. He makes niyat in his heart that, oh Allah, if there's any dirt, for example, in the masjid, is anything I can do to clean the masjid, I'll do that also. Any type of assistance I can assist anyone, I will do it. He's making multiple niyats in his heart. He's getting rewarded for all of that, even though he may not even do it. So, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. That person that made hijrat, one of the hardest things on Sahaba was to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah. And now is the days of Hajj. Everyone has the desire that Allah Ta'ala take us for Hajj. May Allah Ta'ala take all of us. May Allah Ta'ala open it up, make it easy for us to go. But everyone has the desire, that connection is there with Baytullah. But our connection is still very, very little compared to what connection that they had. What the Muhajireen had, the Sahaba had of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What connection they had with Kaaba, that was a different level of a connection. It was very hard for them to leave their birthplace, to leave Kaaba Sharif, to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah, and to emigrate and go somewhere else. It was a very, very difficult thing. So on this occasion, there was one Sahabi that he had proposed to a woman by the name of Umm Qais. And she was situated in Madinah Munawwara, and she was staying there. So she made one condition to this Sahabi. He was famously known as Muhajir Umm Qais. That she made one condition, that if you want to marry me, I'm prepared to marry you, but you must leave Makkah al-Mukarramah and you must come to Madinah al-Munawwara. You must stay where I am, and then only I will marry you. So he made hijrat, he left Makkah al-Mukarramah and he came to Madinah al-Munawwara and he married her. The other Sahaba had left for the sake of Allah Ta'ala and for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why they left. So on this occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this hadith, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكَحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. That person that makes hijrat, he leaves Makkah al-Mukarramah, he goes to Madinah al-Munawwara for some worldly reason, or he goes to marry a woman, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. His actual hijrat, his actual reward is what he intended. This got to do with the internal side, what the intention is in the heart. So important it is, a journey of leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, going to Madinah al-Munawwara is such a blessed thing, but it got to do with the intention. Outwardly, both looked the same. Those Sahaba that had left Makkah al-Mukarramah, he was also a Sahabi. He had left Makkah al-Mukarramah and he went to Madinah al-Munawwara. This was a journey that he also undertook. It looked outwardly same, but internally it determined the reward. So therefore we find that this intention is something that is very, very, very great. Just to mention with regards to this particular hadith, that it is mentioned with tawatur. Tawatur means that so many people from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam right up till now, so many people related it, that it's impossible to believe that this hadith is a fabrication. It's impossible. And then from the great muhaddiseen, just to mention a few, one Sahabi first mentioned, Hazrat Abu Ubaid radiallahu anhu, he says that there's no single hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is more comprehensive, more independent and more beneficial than this particular hadith. Innamal a'malu bin niyat. Hazrat Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullah alayhi, a great muhaddith, he says that this particular hadith is half of knowledge. Half of knowledge is this hadith. Another Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that this hadith is one third of knowledge. And why one third of knowledge is, you look at our practices, it is divided into three parts. One got to do with the tongue, our devotional acts, our ibadat, our practices in deen got to do with the tongue. The other got to do with the physical body, with our actions. And the third part got to do with a person's heart. And when it comes to niyat, niyat got to do with the heart. So therefore, innamal amalu bin niyat, it got to do with the heart. This is 1/3 of all our deen has got to do with our intention. So important this intention is. And Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, he also started his Sahih al-Bukhari, he started it with this particular hadith. In other words, it doesn't matter what action you're doing. You're doing the action of qurbani, what's in your heart? Are you doing it to impress people? Are you doing it to show off? Are you doing it for others? Or are you doing it solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's in the heart is what counts. This is something which is very, very, very important. And there are some other ulama that explain that out of all the teachings in Islam, whatever teachings they may be, this particular hadith adds up to 1/3 of every teaching, why a person is correcting his niyat for what he is doing. And now when it comes to niyat, the person at that time when he's doing it, he may have done it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his niyat was correct. But then later on, ulama explain that sometimes the chore comes in, sometimes the crook comes in to try and take away the reward. There's an incident of one of our akabir, Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullahi, at that time when he had come to Thane Bhowan to reside. Thane Bhowan at that time was just a masjid. They didn't have that building around it, that khanka where people could come. Those rooms and all were not there. So there was a person that had come to Jinjan. Jinjan were where Haji Miyaji Noor Muhammad rahmatullahi, who was the sheikh of Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi. He was the sheikh of Haji Imdadullah. One person had come to him and said, Hazrat, make dua for me. What's your problem? He says there's currently a court case that is in progress, and one person has unlawfully taken one massive piece of my land away. There's not just one small piece of land that we got here. We're talking about farming land that is massive. So he said, one person has usurped this land, and now this court case is in progress. Make dua that I win this case and I get my land back. So Miyaji Noor Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali was a great person, and he had that informal relationship with this person. He said, I'll make this dua for you that you win this court case, but I want something from you also. He had that informal, so he could speak to him. He said, you see our Haji Sahib, Haji Imdadullah, he's there at the moment in Thane Bhowan, and we need some rooms around there. We need a little bit of rooms and some facility. If you undertake to build those rooms, he knew this person was a wealthy person, and he would normally offer also, and he had the relationship, he could talk to him. He said, you build these rooms around there so that this proper khanka can be established. I will make dua that you win this case. So this person, he wanted to win the case. He said, no problem, the deal is done. So anyway, after a short while, Allah Ta'ala made it such that he had won the case. So he came back to Haji Imdad, he came back to Miyaji Noor Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali, and he said, Hazrat, I came to tell you that I won the case. And he was so excited. But that thought came in his heart that, listen, I'll only build half of those rooms that are needed around the masjid. I won't do the rest. Now my kaam is done, whatever work I needed. So this is when the chore comes in. Ulama explained, when the crook comes in, he wants to change your intention. Sometimes you make a genuine intention when you're in need. Somebody is sick in the family, somebody is in need, somebody needs something. A person makes the intention. Later when his work is done, now the intention changes. So he said, what I'll do is I'll only do half. I'll let other people do the other half. Because now whatever I needed to do was done. Short while later, a new court order was given. That half the land must go to you and the other half must go to the disputant. So now this person got a shock. He quickly came back to Miyaji Noor Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali. And he says, Hazrat, this is the story. So Hazrat told him, he said, you see, I made dua that you win the whole land. It was in your hand, you changed your niyat, Allah changed the court order. Your niyat changed, so the court order also changed. In other words, it was dependent upon your niyat. Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions, he was a master of giving examples. He says once there was a person, his child was very sick. The child was very, very sick. So he made niyat in his heart, to Allah, if you give this child of mine shifa, you give him complete shifa, then the best asset that I owned is this milk-giving cow. Quality asset I owned. In those days, that's how the assets they had were the animals. Simple people. He was a farmer. He said, this milk-giving cows, I'll give it in your path, in your name, O Allah. I'll make this wakaf for your sake if you give my child shifa. After some time, this child's hands started moving, legs started moving. Child is getting better. He's looking much better. So now his niyat changed. He says, O Allah, not that cow. That other cow that's not giving the milk. That cow I'll give it in your path. So some time, few days went later, and now this child's strength came back. So then he, Lama Rum Rahmatullah Ali mentions, now this person says that, you know what, he changes, I don't want to give that cow. That cow that got lost in the jungle, if the thing comes back, that cow is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then he mentions in the incident, in the story, just so as to understand how we think, how insan thinks, that how disloyal he is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made one niyat and then the chore comes later on and it spoils his niyat. In other words, he must be on guard all the time. He says, now the child got better. That child was even more clever than the father. He said, father, don't even make niyat, but maybe that one that got lost will come back. Then you'll have to give it. Make niyat that one you slaughtered few years ago, that one is for Allah. In other words, now you don't have to give anything. So this, he explains it as an illustration, that this is the condition of insan, that sometimes he does things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, later on the niyat goes. And one thing in our time and age that steals the niyat away, and we don't even realize it, is this photography and this camera, etc. A man is going for Umrah, a man is doing tawaf of Baytullah, he's videoing himself and sending it throughout the world. That moment of him doing that ibadah is already captured by the malaika. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no need for a person to take a selfie of himself and show the whole world. Sometimes he's there by the Hajri Aswad, he's showing the whole world that here I am. And now even the sanctity of Masjid al-Nabawi alayhi salam is spoilt because people are taking videos and showing. What do we need to show? Allah ta'ala has got malaika to record that moment. If there was any moment that needed to be recorded, was that moment when Ibrahim alayhi salam put the knife over the neck of his son. But Allah ta'ala did not record, Allah ta'ala did not capture that moment. Yet when we want to put the knife over one animal, then we want to show the whole world what we are doing. We are spoiling that niyat of ours. If we are doing it for the sake of Allah, ulama explained, take that action and throw it in the ocean. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will take it out and show you that you did it for my sake. You didn't enjoy it to show people. You did it for me, Allah ta'ala will preserve it. If a thing is shown to people, or later on a person looks at it, hey, see what an animal I slaughtered, that ujab will come in his heart, that ikhlas is lot. So therefore we must be very careful. Shaitan is using different ways to deceive and cheat us and take away that intention from our heart. And one way in this time and age is the cell phone. It is spoiling, it is corrupting all our ibadat. It doesn't matter where a person is, it is corrupting it. Allah Ta'ala save us and Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of protecting ourselves. Whatever we do it for the sake of Allah. Therefore in the hadith it comes that when you give charity with the right hand, don't even let the left hand know. Forget showing everyone else, posting it on Twitter and Facebook and letting everyone else see. Don't even let the left hand know what the right hand has given. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of doing things for His sake, protecting it, looking after it, and safeguarding this niyat of ours. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.